loneliness comes after that. I love this reading because the Lord gives me loneliness when he's going to come to me and speak to me. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. You'll call to the Lord, and the Lord will answer. You'll cry, and he shall say, "Here I am." And since you are precious in my sight, and you have been honorable, I have loved you. I am with you and will keep you in all places where you go, and will bring you again to this land. I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken of. Now, this is interesting. We got this about 25 years ago when the Lord, we were here in this area in northern New Mexico, and the Lord sent us out of New Mexico. But I remember him telling us that I will bring you here again into this land. I remember that. We got this reading when we were seeking him about leaving. So we knew that we would be coming back to New Mexico at some point in the future. Yeah, some of these things really stick in your mind, you know. Long life is another one, and it has to do with being prudent and teaching the right things. The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is their gray head. With him is wisdom and strength. He has counsel and understanding. O Lord, you've taught me from my youth, and I have declared your wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have shown your strength to this generation and your power to everyone that is to come. And make me to know my end and the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. It's beautiful. And it's definitely, for me, it talks about teaching. It talks about teaching and walking in the Lord's ways and using wisdom. Brotherly love, that's kind of an obvious one. I'll get this one about my husband. If I'm being a little protective or selfish of my time because I feel overburdened, well, there's no excuse for it. The Lord will give me brotherly love. And if Ezekiel says, "Hey, you know, you want to watch a holy movie tonight?" And that may be the last thing I want to do, but if he gives me brotherly love, I'll lay down whatever my agenda was, and I'll watch the movie with him. This is an important one, because a lot hinges on brotherly love. The Lord looks to see how we take care of others, and how we give of ourselves, because he's constantly giving us grace and love and filling us with his presence. And he expects us to pour that out on other people. So when we get brotherly love, it means lay down your agenda and take care of this soul that I've put before you. And love your brother as you love yourself. So that may mean some self-sacrifice at that moment. And here's Ezekiel's favorite, God's love. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. As a young man marries a virgin, so shall your maker marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over you. Isn't that beautiful? Yeah, that's his favorite. And that's kind of for us, it's like a confirmation. Lord, can we take, and I'd like to take a drive up to the Taos Canyon or the Ski Valley where it's really beautiful, and just go for a walk, and we'll seek the Lord and make sure that it's in his will, that we're not wasting his time, and he'll give us this beautiful reading, God's love, and we'll know that we have his approval and his blessing to use his time that way. Lust, oh, I hate that one. Now, lust for us does not mean a sexual thing at all. It means to desire something inordinately. Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Abstain from fleshly lusts. That could easily be about food for me. Cheese coffee cake. Cream cheese coffee cake. Hey, Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Oh, and they've got something really wicked now called Magnums. They're like dark chocolate with dark chocolate inside and dark chocolate coating on the outside and chocolate nibs crunched in the crust of it. And it is outrageous chocolate, just outrageous. And that's only rarely for a treat. That's not something I do every day. If I ask the Lord if it's, you know, time to go to the store because I've got a list building and I get lust or money in the world, I say, forget it. I'm not going. So we can lust after different things. You can lust after a car, lust after clothing, lust after a position. Any place that there's really strong desire, any place like that, you're prone to lust. And that's something that overtakes your life. You know, it completely blinds you to reason and to God's will, and it just overtakes you. You've just got to have it. And that's demonic, guys. If you get into that place, you need prayer. In fact, pray the binding prayer and confess your weakness to the Lord and ask Him to protect you. So that's a big one. And of course, for those of you who still have very strong hormones, you can figure that out pretty easily. You know, even under lust, as they told you, there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These are they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But you, beloved, build yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus unto eternal life. Walk in the Spirit, Galatians, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So if I'm at the store, and I go by the ice cream aisle, and I'm tempted to get ice cream, I'll probably pass it by, you know, because the Lord will bring the scripture to mind. Make no provision for the flesh. And if I don't really think I'm going to need ice cream, I just avoid it. It's times when your blood sugar falls. Have you ever noticed that? When there's stress and something happens and there's a lot of stress, your blood sugar comes crashing down and you crave something sweet. But I don't like to keep these things on hand because they're a temptation. Lying. I get this one a lot. This one I get when I've got a lying spirit trying to start a conversation with me. I'm seeking the Lord. I'm getting ready to make a message for you guys. Ready to receive a message from the Lord. And I'll get some false starts. And I'll use the Bible promises, binding a lying spirit from the onset. In the name of Jesus, I bind the lying spirit off of this book. I'll only receive wisdom from the Holy Spirit. And then I'll pray, Holy Spirit, reveal to me, is this you speaking to me? And if I open to lying, then I know I've got a lying spirit. You know, once you've learned to listen in the spirit, you can hear all kinds of things you don't want to hear. You know, it's just like having regular hearing. You know, you may be listening to a symphonic piece or whatever on the radio, and people are talking in the background. You hear both. You hear the good and the bad because you have that skill of being able to hear. It's the same in the spirit realm as you learn to hear the spirit. There's the other company that talks in the spiritual realm that you don't want to listen to. And that's the reason why we're so careful with discernment. I don't think we have ever put out a message that we didn't first discern using the Bible promises, both Ezekiel and I, because we didn't want to deceive you. And we didn't want to say something in the name of the Lord that was not the Lord. So lying is an important one for us. If a false witness rises up against any man to testify against him, okay, that's bad news. The judges will make diligent inquisition. And if he be a false witness and has testified falsely against his brother, he'll do unto him as he thought to have done unto his brother. So when I get this one, that's another red flag. This is not the Lord, or this person is not telling you the truth, or have you been honest about everything? Marriage. When I get marriage, that has to do with listening to my husband. I'll be in discernment and I'll not know exactly what the Lord is trying to say. So I will engage Ezekiel. And if I get marriage, then I know that the Holy Spirit is going to give Ezekiel the answer. All I have to do is ask him to pray and help me discern. And he's going to have the wisdom that I need from Holy Spirit. I really felt like I needed to take time doing this with you guys so that you would have an understanding of how these different Bible promise readings can possibly relate to you. Okay, and this is, I guess, where the running waters are. Drink waters out of your own cistern and running waters out of your own well. Sometimes, like if we ask the Lord if we should go to a certain, listen to a certain prophet, we may get this scripture under the marriage reading. So, you know, it'd be like for you, if you're inquiring if you should go across town to a service where this prophet was in town and you got marriage, you'd wonder, what in the world's that for? Why did I get marriage? Maybe you're not married. Or maybe you're married and there's nothing, you know, there's nothing going on with your husband. So you're wondering, what in the world's this about? And if you look down the page there, it says, drink waters out of your own cistern and running waters out of your own well. And that may be the rhema for you about the situation, that you've got what you need. You really don't need to go across town and listen to someone else or drink water from their well. We've had it to mean that before. Both Ezekiel and I have encountered that. But it also can mean spend time with your spouse. I've had times when this has come up. Every time I opened the Bible promises, marriage came up. And the reason it did is because Ezekiel was going through some interior things that he was not sharing with me. And he was hurting. And I needed to kind of drag it out of him, so to speak. And the Lord was trying to tell me, you know, there's some things going on with him that you need to be attentive to. Wives, submit yourself to your husbands. Don't we love that scripture? Oh, I just love that scripture. and this one, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Yeah, I like that one better. Oh, men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. Ezekiel is a good husband. That's how he is. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. And husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And dwell with husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto your wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Yeah, I mean, our prayers can be hindered because of the way that we treat our spouses. In fact, just recently the Lord corrected me on that. The hot weather was getting to me. I was getting impatient and a little gruff and not my normal sweet self with Ezekiel. And the Lord came back and called me on it and said, this is not pleasing to me because I live in him. And when you don't honor him, you're not honoring me. I repented. And this just happened recently. It is a tendency, you know, in marriage for us to take each other for granted. But then recall the time when you didn't have each other. And you were still looking for your soulmate and your spouse. And you were so lonely. And that'll help you in present time to appreciate what you have more. So, and I think this is, these are little foxes that get into marriages and destroy them. Little nattering things, little inconveniences. The war of the windows. Yeah. I tend to be hot and he tends to be cold. So we have what we call the war of the windows. I'll walk out of the recording studio and the windows will be nice and open and breezy and airy. And he'll come back here to do something. He'll close the windows. So I'll wait. Then he walks out and I'll open the windows. But I left the kitchen windows open too to get a cross draft. Lo and behold, I go in the kitchen and those windows are shut. Yeah, the wars of the windows. Those things can get on your nerves and can wear you down. And this is where charity and love is so important. And you can begin to get irritated with each other. Charity covers a multitude of sins. So we need to be charitable with one another. And when I get marriage or brotherly love, I start thinking, uh-oh, I need to pay more attention to this. I need to see what this is about, if my husband is needing me more of my attention. Meekness comes after that. How beautiful. I love meekness. I get that when the Lord is warning me that my pride's beginning to swell again. Mercy, one of my favorite readings, because it means I've forgiven you, and I'm going to show you my mercy. You're going to receive mercy. I got this about Yellowstone. After we finished watching the movie, Super Volcano or Yellowstone or whatever it was, a real dramatic movie about Yellowstone, where the whole United States was just ruined. I went to the Lord about it and I asked him, Lord, is this going to happen? And I got mercy. So I knew even when that film came out years ago that the Lord was not going to allow Yellowstone to destroy this country. Then when he was more pointed about it and brought me a message to share with you about the things that would be happening, and then I knew, you know, they had given me mercy before, but then he brought it to light and actually explained how he was going to handle the magma from Yellowstone, and that it was going to seep out of the earth. There would be an explosion, but it would not be anything like a super volcano. Then there would be a lot of fissures where the lava would come forth and let off the pressure that way. So mercy was the word he gave me at that time. And here's one of my least favorite ones, money. Don't labor to be rich. Cease from your own wisdom. Why will you set your eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings and fly away as an eagle towards heaven. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in their riches, but trust in the living God, who gives us everything to enjoy, that they do good and should be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Don't store your riches on earth. Store them in heaven, where moth and dust and cannot corrode. So money is a hard one. If I get that and I need something from the store or think I need something, Lord, can I have printer ink? At a time when we don't have money for ink, you know, I may get money, and it's basically saying you're going to have to make do without it for now. So money, when you get money, it's a reminder not to go out to the store. Be happy with what you have. Don't be searching for more. Don't focus on that. Don't long for that. It's a trap. They will cast their silver in the streets, and their gold will be removed. Their silver and gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. Nor shall it satisfy their souls, neither their bowels, because it is the stumbling block of their iniquity. Money, money, money. So that is a serious warning, guys. When you get money, that's a serious warning to triple check your motives and necessities, or what you consider necessities. Obedience, yes. I've set before you this day life and good and death and evil. When I get obedience, it's almost always a confirmation of something that came before it. In other words, I told you to do such and such. Please obey. Obedience is very important. If you get obedience, then the Lord is definitely trying to get your attention to obey what he has told you in the past. Obedience is super important reading. Very important. Parents' duties. I always take that as teaching because my children aren't here. Showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. So when we give parents duties, it always has to do with, like, we'll give parents duties if we're sick. And we wonder, okay, why am I sick? Is this, have you allowed this, Lord, as a punishment? Or what is this? If we open the parents' duties, we'll know that it's Simon's cross. We are being given a suffering to carry for the Lord, for the gospel to reach people, and for hearts to be softened. So parents' duties is a real good one for us. It really tells us what the nature of the situation is. The other thing about parents' duties is, if there's something you need to instruct someone on and you haven't done it, if you haven't corrected your children on something, if you haven't provided for them in some way and the Holy Spirit's been nudging you to do so, you can get parents' duties. Patience is beautiful. It means, yes, I'm going to give it to you, but you'll have to wait. I would rather get that than anything else, that he isn't going to allow whatever. I'd rather get patience. That's a beautiful one. And it also says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. The trying of your faith works patience.